Hi, Samayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hag Sukkot, Samayak, which means have a joyous Feast of Tabernacles, because today, which actually began at sundown last night, started the season of joy and continues for 8 days. So tonight and next week, we will look at our Lord's seventh appointment, because, as in the other six, points directly to Jesus.
So, Merry Christmas, because today is his real birthday.
It really is. So, if these appointments of our Lord are new to you, rejoice, for you are about to be blessed, because, honestly, the feasts are the bridge to understanding correct eschatology.
The study of the end times.
Yes. So let's pray.
Abba, Father, we thank you for sending your Son as we remember his real birthday, born of a virgin to save us from the penalty of sin. We highly praise only you and lift up these recent prayer requests, especially those with serious infirmities. And for those suffering from depression or loneliness, may you bring comfort to their souls. We ask for your divine protection over our children against the demonic forces who bombarded our loved ones' minds with wicked, lustful pleasures, drugs, and alcohol, the many internet addictions, and the dangerous vaccines. We covet your presence because without you, we are nothing. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
You want to comment first on the border invasion?
Well, it does fit prophecy of the New World Order's agenda. They want to destroy nationalism and bring in more of the diverse poor to better control the people, lower the white middle class population, and euthanize the elderly, which is why vaccines are pushed more upon us older folk. And, of course, to get rid of small business.
Well, yeah, they only want two classes.
Right. The elite and the serfs loyal to a totalitarian government who will gladly take all the government handouts.
American Marxism.
Yes, and global Marxism, too, like communism, by using socialism as the bridge.
The U.S. will no longer be the world's leading superpower.
For sure. Instead, a handful of countries, probably 10 kings, will dominate together. And right now, the socialist part of the takeover is at our door. Eliminate guns and our Constitution.
And no freedom of press.
And no privately owned property or small businesses. They plan on tracking and tracing at all times. Thanks to the vaccines with its magnetic metal nanoparticles, which can also make one sterile. And using social credit scores to rate your obedience. The elite bloodlines already speak of the USA in the past tense.
And claim accomplishment by 2030.
Mm-hmm. And now Biden has moved to limit supplies of life-saving COVID treatments to the sick.
Is this his revenge?
You mean like, I'll show them why they should have got the jab? He'd better not go there, because many still getting COVID have already been jabbed.
Well, you don't hear much about that.
Naturally, but true. More about that, of course, in our next upcoming newsletter.
And President Biden gave his first-time speech to the UN today.
Yes, first time to the UN. The 76th UN, actually, General Assembly since World War II. And there was a lot to unpack. He mouthed a lot of words, but actions are mostly unrealistic. But no time to analyze that today, except to say the main topic was climate change and how we must help to vaccinate the world to get ready for the next pandemic and, of course, to build back better.
The favorite slogan of the elite.
And I do have to mention his close to the end statement, and he said this, I quote, "The new technologies can reshape every aspect of human existence." And that is what the globalists do believe.
but not in a good way for the little folk.
Mm-hmm. And Israel's new Prime Minister Bennett will give a speech next Monday, which is the seventh day of Tabernacles, who will undoubtedly be compared to his predecessor Netanyahu, who had always and with thunder castigated Iran's evils before the world body.
We'll give a synopsis of all that next week.
And some favorable news. The lady of our parliament ruled that amnesty for the illegal immigrants cannot be allowed in the Dems' spending bill. You know, their eligibility just for all the federal benefits alone would increase our deficit by over $130 billion.
But the progressives do not care about money.
Nope, they just print more. So yeah, to push their agenda.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. And we'll add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, well, the Feast of Tabernacles represents and is celebrated in remembrance of how God totally took care of his own in the wilderness after escaping Egypt. And we read in Zechariah 14 that this festival will still be observed in the Messianic Kingdom. Therefore, also memorialized in anticipation of the coming Millennial Kingdom, which will be ushered in on the first day of the season of joy,
where all our needs will be met.
In fact, their traditional exclamation of prayers begins with,
"Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all our needs."
I love that. Our God who provides for me all our needs.
It's personal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that God chose the first day of Tabernacles for Jesus to be born on earth.
Well, it's very fitting.
And if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you too can claim that promise and remind God that you are aware of his promise and that you lean on it.
Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Amen. And that's what Tabernacles is all about.
His complete provisions for his own.
And the children of Israel understood that during their extended time in the wilderness. So the yearly sukkah or booth, which they were commanded to build by God in Leviticus 23, is a visual memorial of that time. And spiritually for us, Yeshua is our sukkah, our covering. This eight-day Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh of all the feasts. We have had so much to say about all of God's appointments, but this last one surrounds the great harvest and Jesus' 1,000-year reign as king over all the earth.
So we have covered a lot starting back in August with Teshuvah.
Yes, the 40-day season of repentance that ended on Yom Kippur, the day of the fast.
We also studied God's new year called Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets.
And we examined the days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur called the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or picture of the tribulation, focusing on repentance, especially on Yom Kippur's Day of Atonement, and gave the details of how that too will be fulfilled with Christ's second coming at the end of the tribulation. So tonight we look at the seventh and greatest of all feasts called Tabernacles or Sukkot, and we'll address its other names as well.
Like the Season of Joy, Jesus' real birthday.
And if you're new to our program, you can learn more about all this, and it's still free on our webpage, shofarministries.net. Okay, so it was mandatory according to Leviticus 23 that the Hebrews dwell in a sukkah or a booth for 7 days, like we said, as a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness where God took care of them completely. And there is a more detailed account of this by Nehemiah after returning to Jerusalem when the law was read again by Ezra. So, honey, please read Nehemiah 8, verses 13 through 18.
Now, on the second day...
Now, of course, that's the month of Tishrei, or the second day of Rosh Hashanah, so they would have almost 2 weeks till Tabernacles to prepare.
The heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law.
And that's Leviticus 23, of course.
Which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees, to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity.
And that would be from Babylon.
Made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly, according to the prescribed manner.
So we read here that besides on Saturday, they would enjoy two extra high Sabbaths on the first day, Tishrei 15, which happens to be today, and also on the eighth day. So why did God set apart these 2 days? Well, because he would later send his son on the first day of Tabernacles, and then Jesus would be circumcised on the eighth day.
A type of his blood covenant.
That's right. A reminder for you all, I did send out an extra insert with our last newsletter explaining in detail how we can know this.
And August newsletter is up on our webpage.
It is. And it's so amazing when you see how easy it is to figure out just by knowing when John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was serving in the temple, and that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary told her she was too. And with that information, we thereby also learn that Jesus was incarnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of Hanukkah, also called the Feast of Lights, as is Tabernacles.
Right, because he is the light of the world.
Oh, amen. Let's talk about some of the ceremonies, because they all point to Jesus, too. One of the ceremonies performed during this Feast of Joy is called the Waving of the Lulav. Let's read Leviticus 23, verse 40.
And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
Okay, a great typology. Everyone brings a fruit. They chose an etrog, which is comparable to a lemon, but it's bigger and sweeter. And that would serve as the fruit of the good trees.
Trees represent people.
Right, and there are good trees and bad trees. Anyhow, demanded very specifically by God, as we just read, they also needed the branches of a palm. And then the myrtle would serve as from the leafy tree, and also some willows.
So, get a mental picture here?
Yes. These three branches were held in the right hand, with the etrog fruit held upside down in the left. Then they would join together both hands, while turning the etrog upright and begin waving the entire lulav in six directions.
North, south, east, and west, and up and down.
Right. And here we see how spiritually it represents a union. For after a person is turned right side up to God, then they would unite with Israel, represented by the branches. And anyone could choose to serve the one true God and join in with Israel. So we can see how this lulav ceremony has even a greater meaning for Gentile believers in Yeshua, because the etrog fruit represents us. When, as a believer should, as referenced in God's word, join themselves to Israel. And of course that would produce a greater and sweeter union. And there is another nugget here, because the lulav has very unique characteristics about the different components. Again, each specifically ordered by God. And for good reason, because the date palm has no fragrance, but it does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it does have fragrance. The willow has no fruit or fragrance, but has the sound of the wind as it blows in the breeze.
A great picture of the body of Christ.
Yeah. We are a diverse group with different attributes and different gifts. But there's still another lesson to glean from this. Each item is found in diverse places. The willow is found by the brook, the myrtle from the mountains, the date palms in the valleys, and the citron etrog found in the very fertile valleys of the very lower lands. You know, the body of Christ is open to all walks of life from all over the world.
Oh, another ceremony is called the House of the Water Pouring.
Oh, yeah, where the priests would cut 25-foot willow branches and align themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows, approximately 30 feet apart. And when signaled, they would each step forward on the right foot while swinging the branches to the left in unison. As they stepped forward on the left foot, the branches would swing to the right. Thus they proceeded toward the city of Jerusalem. Now, what do you think that sounded like?
A rushing wind approaching the temple.
Exactly, like the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, the high priest and his assistant had retrieved a golden vessel of water known as the Mayim Hayim, meaning living water, from the Pool of Siloam.
An important piece of real estate, I might add.
Oh, very much so. You know, in John chapter 9, Jesus put clay on the eyes of the man who was blind from birth and told him to wash it off, where? In the Pool of Siloam. Anyhow, the high priest's assistant, a Levi, this Levi priest would carry a silver vessel full of red wine. So, as the priests with the willows approached the temple, they met up with the group from Siloam. When a trumpet was blown, a single flute began to play, who was just happened to be called the Pierced One. Yep, who then led the procession as the wind and the water also entered the temple. Jesus is our Pierced One and will one day lead all his righteous ones into his new messianic kingdom. When? On the first day of Tabernacles. As well, then other priests were laying sacrifices on the fire of the altar and would circle the altar, not once, but seven times on the last day. And that last day is called Hoshana Rabbah, meaning the great salvation. And then the willow branches were placed against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah. After that, the high priest and his assistant would ascend the altar from the east, of course, because we know that Jesus will return where? From the east, pouring out the water with the wine over the altar. Of course, this pictures Jesus' side being pierced with the sword when blood mixed with water spilled out on the altar of the cross. Then, and this is truly thought-provoking, they would sing Isaiah 12, verse 3. You're all familiar with it. It says, therefore, with joy, this is a season of joy, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Well, the Hebrew word for salvation is, you know, Yeshua. So they were singing, let us draw water from Yeshua. That's just amazing to me. And it was during this ceremony, on the seventh day called Hoshanah Rabbah, that we see in John 7, verse 37, that Jesus himself proclaims, he says this, that if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So he picked that particular time. And if you really see all the details, you can tell that everything had been planned out by God way ahead of time so that we can learn from our Jewish roots just how detailed God really is. And there's still much more connected to this festival with many other names like Feast of All Nations, Feast of Dedication, Feast of Lights, and it's also called the Feast of Ingathering. And we'll hit on that more next week, but that's when all the sheep will be ingathered. Anyhow, we're going to have to finish this great feast next week. There's so much to talk about and to explain in detail. But it's the eighth important and final day called Simchat Torah, or it's also called Shemini Atzeret. But know this right now. You must be sure that you have been born again into Jesus. That is, if you want to be part of the future kingdom. And again, this future kingdom is represented and ushered in at the Feast of Tabernacles. Everything just fits like an absolute glove. But time is moving faster than ever before. So be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And you know, they all say to me, well, my relationship with Jesus, I'm sure, is intimate. I pray all the time. But how can you really be sure? Well, if you have a desire to know him, to know Jesus, more with a passion to be in his word. That's the key. In his presence, our Bible. Because Jesus is the word. So again, and I say this almost every week, I would think, if you have more word, you're going to have more of Jesus. It's just that simple. But it's always your choice. You just have to do it. If you know the Lord, but you're really not where you should be, you know, like one foot's in the world, just spend more time in the Word, and he will help you get that foot out of the world. That's what he does. And it works. But we have to find specific time, set it apart, make an appointment with Jesus and his Word so that you can grow. And the traditional prayer during Tabernacles is, Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. And I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's special. Shalom. Anyway, that's number 622 through 27. And till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in all ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.